minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 123.
What's cracking? We only get 123 once.
I know. It's a nice number. I know why I might be sounding shit every day, other than it being early in the morning. But I think it's because we sleep with the aircon on.
Oh, yeah. There's not much avoiding that in Europe. We were talking about the aircon yesterday. But here's the weird thing, though. I spoke to you this morning. It's currently Thursday in Melbourne. I feel like I've spoken to you, you've slept all of today, and now I'm speaking to you again. It's the most bizarre thing when you cross time zoning.
Mm-hmm. And it's also Thursday here in Italy.
Now it's Thursday.
I've been using my G-Shock, which is part of my rebrand, obviously, if you've been listening to previous episodes.
Yeah. And you know the thing about G-Shocks, without being offensive, I feel like you're a child that has a Batman watch on that has all these gadgets in it, and then like it like shoots a little string or something, but it looks novelty on their arm. That's what I think the G-Shock looks on an adult.
The G-Shock that I have, pilots wear. Would you say that about a pilot?
You wouldn't. Not to his face, but definitely behind his back.
The pilot could be a she, remember? But and I could imagine a female pilot rocking one of these. It's very chunky. I do like the chunk to it. But the interesting thing about it too is you can change your time zone very easily. So that's exciting. But that's the only feature that I've worked out. But the manual was so big that I couldn't bring it away with me. So I just have to Google every time I want to try and do something quirky.
Are you a manuals guy or are you a wing it guy? I haven't asked.
I don't really use manuals. But if I say when it comes to, say, this audio equipment and things like that, I'll definitely be Googling. I'm a Googling guy. I can't be fucked dealing with the way they've set out the manual and try. It seems like a long shot. If a table of contents ever works, I get very excited, but I'll rarely use it.
So you troubleshoot in the moment?
Yeah, I troubleshoot in the moment with a bit of Googling.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Bit of news as Russ Keys threw out the suggestion that we should just bring you up to speed with what's happening on the ground here in Melbourne. Not that you would care about this because you're living it up large.
We didn't talk about the Logies. I've had to get my Logies fix from another podcast, not even our own. I've been listening to Shameless, an awesome Aussie podcast, and they were talking all things Logies.
Well,
ask me anything.
Who won the gold Logie? I actually don't know.
Well, it was Grant Denyer, but they it was actually a pre-Logies chat. So they were talking about whether Amanda Keller or Grant Denyer would win. So
yeah,
there you go.
All I saw was Andrew Bucky, who I worked with, and you probably worked with him too at SCA. Andrew Bucklow. He's a writer for the news.com.au. And he was on the red carpet.
Oh, yes.
He did a great video. I thought, and I watched it, and it was like, he's like, oh, you know, I couldn't be bothered putting in any effort this year with the video. So what I'm going to do is ask each guest to give me a question that I can then ask the next celebrity, which sounds really
so
simple.
So fucking lazy.
No. It was really good. So I had that initial thing, and I'm mates with him. I was like, oh, God, whenever you start out by saying I've put fuck all effort into something, it's like you're setting it up for failure. But it worked really, really well. It was so funny because he obviously told each celebrity that, oh, yeah, Grant Denyer told me to ask you this. And then so they have the context of who it's coming from. And so they start ripping.
So it's a big circle jerk and stuff.
Massive. It's great. But I think it was clever. I was always trying to come up with quirky, clever ideas for red carpet reporting.
But anyway, the Logies is about 5 days old now, 4 days old. What's today's news?
So there was a bloke who, well, actually, I don't know if it was a bloke or it was a woman. We don't know who it is, but all we know is that someone has claimed after 3 to 4 weeks, I think it was, 170 something days.
Sorry. Can I just interject?
Yes.
Peter Hitchener on Instagram already told me about this news, the $55 million Brunswick.
Yeah, Powerball was claimed.
Powerball. crazy.
How ridiculous would that be? I was sitting with a friend of mine, Joel Crean. Shout out if you're listening. I told him about our podcast, so hopefully
he's
tuning in for the first time. Otherwise,
I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. Let me know, Joel. But we were talking about this, and he's an ex-journo, worked for 10, was out in the field. Anyway, he was telling me that his mate lived next door to someone really high up at Tattersales, which is the Tats Lotto or the Lotto company here in Australia. There's a couple of them. But he said that the dude who lived in this awesome place, his job was purely to call people to tell them that they've won Tats Lotto. What a job.
I know. It's almost, it's like it's a junior producer role within a radio station. Isn't it?
Here's the thing.
They're making bank.
The thing, though, is like when you're calling someone. So I know someone who's won Tats Lotto and they got a call saying, you've won. We can't tell you how much. You need to come in to collect your check.
Oh, that's
interesting. And so I don't know if that's for all of them. Maybe if it's a high, maybe if there was a lot of money in the line, they'd tell you. Anyway.
Well, yeah, go on.
Yeah, so my mum's friend went in and collected her check. And so the way I know this is because she told me this story. And when she came over to our house, I had no idea that she'd won anything. And she pulls out this check. And so she's like, Tommy, look at this. Shows me this check. And I'm looking at it, trying to work out what the fuck it is. And then she pulls her thumb away, and there's the little Tats Lotto guy. It was like $80,000. And oh, wow. I knew as soon as I saw the little thing, she's like, I won Tats Lotto.
Yeah, it's Christian Hull, who we've got on the podcast in a few weeks. He won like 10 grand.
Oh, fuck, we should have spoken to him about that.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert, we didn't talk about that.
He did did all Snapchats. He thought he'd won like a few hundred bucks, went in, was doing all stories about it, and then filmed the reveal.
Yeah,
Man, that would be a nice bonus.
It was a similar thing. He didn't know what he'd won, but he knew he'd won, and then
Fuck, that's cool. Hey, I've been thinking about an idea, like sort of something interesting that a tourist offering in Europe I want to get your vibe on. So I was thinking, I don't want to do all the touristy shit. I've been like pretty bad when it comes to that, where it's like, do you think it's bad that we're not going to all the museums and stuff?
I don't want to do all the touristy shit. And all that came to mind was a photo of you in a gondola in Venice.
We'll get to that. No, but I'm not doing that. I just don't know anything about Marco Polo or anyone.
Yeah. Mate, I went to Rome. I didn't go to the stadium where the gladiators fought. There is a few things that I think you should be selective. One thing, this is more advice from me to you about going to the Vatican City. It's the most outrageous thing ever. It's like I think it's its own city of its own within Rome.
Yeah,
it's the most amazing thing you'll ever see.
In a good way. Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely do that. But I was thinking of other experiences that could be started, like what sort of little tourist experiences. And I had this idea. It's called Taken. And it's if you're traveling with another person, and what you do is, say if Bree wanted to organize this experience for me, she would basically contact the Taken tourism company. And what they do is they organize to hide Bree somewhere in Italy, and at any moment they take her, and then I have to find her, but I don't know. So Brie would book without telling me, and then they would all of a sudden would be walking along, and you turn a corner in Venice and she's disappeared, and then someone would come up and say, hi, you're part of the Taken tourist group, now we've got your girlfriend, you've got to find her, and you have all these cryptic clues around. And it could be Europe, like it could be a big Euro one, or maybe it has to be country specific. Do you think that's a good idea, or has it got flaws?
Before I tell you, a few questions. Is Liam Neeson involved?
No. You could do a branding deal, absolutely.
Have you seen that film?
Yeah, I've seen one. Yeah, I've seen.
I've seen one of
them.
I think there's just too much of a clash with human trafficking trade, and there's a bit of overlap there. There's vibes of human trafficking and potential sex crimes, which just popped to mind.
I don't want that as a vibe. That's definitely my vibe. Is definitely not human trafficking or sex trafficking vibes. That's not my shtick, really.
You may get some just really, really rich, Eastern European men who are very overweight, thinking that they're in for something that's it's not. So I don't know.
Man.
If you've seen the Taken movie, that's who.
I don't remember any references. So all I remember is he said something on the phone. But anyway,
I like the idea. Isn't that in Melbourne? Not the Taken, but the concept around you go into the city and then people will come and speak to you, and you're meant to be going around different places.
Yeah, our mate Leon, who we have on tomorrow's show, we don't ask him about this, but he did, in fact, do something like that. Yeah, where they, but it's sort of an opt-in thing. The little bit of a difference with what I'm suggesting is it's a cool couples activity, but anyway, it's boring. I realize that it probably wouldn't work.
Stinks like human trafficking. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I don't like that. It's too human trafficking. But I've got also another life trap. Yeah, I'm trying to work out with the hashtag. Should it be life trap or life traps? Life traps.
Well, it needs to be trap if it's one per day. So just go with trap to start with, because you blew it yesterday and you went hard.
No, but
you went hard.
But I think the problem is on Insta stories. I think I've done hashtag life traps.
If there's anyone who knows a rebrand,
let's do life traps.
How to rebrand something? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Hey everyone, it's life traps, and I want to talk about one of the common ones, which is pickpocketing, and the life trap is that when you see a sign that says pickpocketing, what pickpocketers do is they always hang around there, because do you know what you do when you see a sign that says pickpocketing?
I saw an image of you hitting your pocket.
Yeah, you touch your pocket, and then so they know exactly where your wallet is.
Mm. Yeah.
So I've been walking along. I've changed the way I walk so that my hands flick back and forth next to my pocket. But not only that, every probably four sways, I do a double sway so it's not sort of an easy get. If I swayed the same way all the time with my hand, they would just be able to, it would be almost like mini golf. They just pick the moment where the wheel's not turning and they jump in and get it. But with the whole double sway, every three sways, it confuses the fuck out of them. So I've still got my passport and wallet.
But at the same time, you look like Napoleon Dynamite and stick out like dog's balls because you're this big, tall, awkward 6'2" Aussie bloke. Just
I've got that vibe, don't I?
I think it's a good tip and a good life trap.
It's definitely a life trap.
You wouldn't normally think about it. And it's just
well, it's
so
a life
natural,
trap,
yeah.
Just part of all the life traps that I'm going to be talking about over the coming months.
Yeah, I mean,
with my segment Life Traps.
Life traps on tour, because they're very tourist focused.
Yeah.
And specific.
Yeah, we'll go beyond that.
Very specific. Just talking with Lawrence in the office just before, and he said to me, "Have you heard about the if Facebook were a village of 100 people, they're like facts. So it's like taking the percentage and then, you know, lowering it down. It's like, okay, if Facebook were a village of 100 people and then there's all these things around gender, how many men to women, 56 men, 44 women. But there's some interesting ones in here. Do you want to hear a few of them?
Yeah, go for it.
And have you heard of this before?
Never.
It's some site called Loomly.com. This is like an updated 2018 version.
Okay.
You don't spend much time on Facebook at all. It's not your optimum.
I used to go hard. Like my memory section on Facebook is amazing. I've got so many throwbacks.
See, I mean, you've done it right. You went hard early and it's still giving. It's
yeah, well, every year. Now I'm just purely living in throwback mode.
Yeah. this one, what device are people using? So if Facebook were a village of 100 people.
Facebook?
What the fuck am I saying?
Are you still saying Facebook? What's wrong? Are you okay?
I've been watching a YouTuber who's South African.
Yeah, Facebook. I don't think they say it like that either. Go on.
So if Facebook were a village of 100 people, 64 people would be using Android devices, with 20 using Apple iOS devices, which I thought there'd be a lot more using Apple phones.
No, especially who is that? Lawrence in the background. Whose phone is that?
Yeah, his phone. Yeah,
I think that he's got to move his car or something. The thing so is that true. Android is a lot more popular than iPhone around the world. Australia has, I think, abnormally high use of Apple products, like iPhones and stuff like that. But they're very expensive for most people, right? If you go to Asia and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're using like Yowie. I think it's pronounced Yowie. Trevor Long will be able to correct me. Yowie. It's like a Chinese manufacturer that sort of competes with Apple. But yeah, what other? Tell me two more.
All right. If Facebook were a village of 100 people, 92 would primarily be using mobile phones. So there's 92% of people on Facebook are using phones.
Great.
Okay. I'll just let you pick from the last one. There's jobs, there's education levels, there's what language are people using, or city that people are from. This one ties into what you just said.
Yeah, go on.
If Facebook were a village of 100 people, one would come from, oh no, that's not, Bangladesh. That's all they say.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we did that segment.
This one's interesting.
Because what they've essentially done is they've masked it around it being this 100 person, you know, community. We're talking percentages here.
Yeah, which literally makes it visually appealing.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, nearly
this 50, is an audio medium, but go on.
Nearly 50% of people on Facebook are married. So nearly half of the users of Facebook are married. Interesting.
That does seem. Does seem quite high.
That seems
high. Yeah. What else is happening? We've got our Trello board full of stuff today. You've had a field day on Trello with things you want to talk about. Mate, pick a topic. What are you talking about
now? No, I saw you. What the fuck's this big rebrand news? I'm fascinated.
Let's not blow our load too early. This is the rebrand's huge. The rebrand news I want to keep till the end.
Okay, well, it's obviously not long enough where you could have taken out the last 10 minutes on the rebrand.
No, you know what? We probably actually could. But is there another thing you want to... The thing that I was curious about was you've got in there comparison. What's your shtick on... What's your thoughts on comparison at the moment?
It was our... Fuck, I can't remember what day we have conversations, but we were either this morning... Because I said to you, I was like, oh, I feel like... When you've got a mate travelling, it makes you kind of realise your life or being boring. And Amy pulled me up on it and you pulled me up on it too. And I didn't explain myself correctly, or I made it sound like I feel like I've got a boring life. But I think it's like our conversation, you and I, were around, okay, you can become a dad, you become a business owner, and you can get not stuck, but you have obviously commitments and responsibilities, and then you're looking outside of your world and comparing yourself to other people. And I guess if I'm looking at your life, I'm going, oh, I think about what it takes to be able to do what you're doing, and it's not having a child at this point of where Bodhi's at.
Yeah.
And, you know, lots of other responsibilities. But you, what was your main point of it?
Well, I think that you just need to use the filters in which you're working with. So, you know, for you, you can't have, I think you're talking about having ideas that you can't really, like people having ideas that they can't implement because they've got a family. And my point was then it's not a good idea. Yeah. If you can't implement the idea, it's not a good idea. And if it's not aligned with who you are, what you're doing, where you're going, it's not a good idea either. So it's that thing of like remembering where, like the specific path that you're on, because it's very different. I think that those moments where we're thinking about, I could be doing this if I wasn't doing that, it's sort of like straying away from the path that we've created. Because the thing is, it's like kids, for example. Bree and I have made the specific, like we've made the specific choice that at this moment in time we're not having kids, and it's purely because we want to do these things. But in your life, having kids was a much bigger priority, and now you're able to live that. And the other thing, I was even thinking about this, we didn't speak about this, but I was like, you know, everything has its advantages and disadvantages. When you're an old person, Bodhi is going to be 30 years old, coming around to your house, mowing your lawn, like, you know, hanging out, doing stuff, doing family trips. And so it's almost like that long-term game. But I think that, the comparison thing is, I think the antidote to that is just using your filter. So it's saying, okay, these are the things that are important to me. And then if you've got an idea that doesn't align with being a family person, then it's not really a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a slippery slope, thinking and seeing someone else's version of life and applying it to your own, because it just doesn't, it will never fit.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got different priorities and non-negotiables. And so, yeah.
And the other thing too is it's like this trip, you know, this, you know, few months that we're away, like it's only a few months of our life. What you're doing is like obviously a much longer term thing, having a kid.
It's a very easy out. I think
it's a trap.
It's a life trap. Yeah. Because
one per show, please.
Okay, sorry, mate. I've been working with Lisa, who we had on the podcast 90-something. Episode 90-something. Lisa Stevenson. And it was
99
talking about
she is.
99. Talking about...
I may have made that up.
Yeah, 98. No, it was before Hamish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was two before Ham.
Before the show rebrand. Which was the intro. So we've been talking about... Thinking about what you want a goal or to achieve, where you want to get to, your vision. And it's like coming to grips with the fact of whether or not you are up for doing what you need to do to get there. Because how many times are like, oh, I wanted to start that business for years. But it's like, I think if you are realizing that you aren't willing to put in the effort, which is okay, it doesn't mean that you failed. It just might mean it's like totally out of alignment with who you are as a person. Like, do you want to have fuck all sleep when sleep is important to you? It's counterproductive to achieving anything, especially the goal that you were, you know, that's means you can't sleep. So,
yeah. I think that even I think about that with the podcast, because in a lot of ways it would have been, you know, sorry, give me a second, I just need a cough. I think that the, you know, if you listen to previous episodes, probably up until episode 60, you and I were talking about, oh, we might only get to 100 episodes with this, right? And we made the choice that this is something that we actually want to do long. This is my version of a kid, really. Like, this is the long, the longest term thing that I've probably put out there, and there is a level of sacrifice to that, right? Which means that, like, rather than waking up at 6 a.m. and going and seeing, like, the sunrise, I'm, like, 6 a.m. doing this podcast with you. And that's not even taking... That's not taking away from the traveling experience that I'm having. To me, it's enhancing it. So I think that it's... yeah, it's... Perspective is very interesting. I even think about the perspective around this, you know, traveling thing and being so concerned about being a tourist. And we got a great recommendation for a pizza pasta place, like a restaurant, for last night from an American friend of ours. And when I got in there, I was like, oh, they speak, oh, fuck, they all speak English. Like, they're speaking really good English. There's a few other Americans here. I'm just fucking, look what we've done. Like, oh, I've fallen into a tourist trap. I'm so upset with myself. And then I was just like, in the moment, I was like, everything has its own reality. Everything. And so we can put our own perspective on it. And it's the same thing with the gondola. Like, the gondola, guess how much a gondola costs for 30 minutes in the sunset?
60 euro came to mind.
100 euro. So it was probably 170 Australian dollars. But the thing is, my thought around it is, it's like, how often...
Yeah.
Well, I first applied, like, our rates as video people, and then you're like, you know what? It's not like, how am I, you know, how can I charge what I charge, and then scoff at paying this for a unique experience that you can't do anywhere else, right?
Yeah.
A gondola in Venice along the canals. It's like supply and demand. They can charge that.
Yeah.
And I so think,
yeah, when before would, when you said about tourist things, should I be doing them or going to them? You're totally right. It's, if you're there, you've embraced tourist life to some degree. It doesn't mean going to stay at Disneyland in the hotel there, but go to Disneyland. You don't have to take it as far as staying there. Have you done that? I could imagine you doing that.
No, we haven't stayed. We didn't stay at Disneyland, but I'm done with theme parks. I fucking hate theme parks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you haven't done them, they're fun to some degree.
Yeah, do them once. Yeah, exactly. That's but the interesting thing, probably the difference with what I'm talking about from a tourist point of view in regard, is more I feel bad that I'm not doing all the history type stuff. I find that going on, like, one of those city sightseeing buses or whatever in some cities, I end up learning so much more about the city.
Yeah.
Like, whereas I don't know any facts. I'm going to walk away. I'm a little bit sad that I'm going to walk away from Venice without any more knowledge. Like, I'm going to have this great experience, but I'm not going to necessarily know more. And I feel like I've stretched myself in regards to learning bits of the language to be able to order food and things like that. But by the end of this 3 months or whatever, I want to be in a better position where I feel like I do a better job in those situations where it's like, I just get a bit paralyzed where I'm like, we've got 3 days. I don't want to be darting from museum, you know, to museum. I just want to sort of chill by the canals and have a bite to eat.
Yeah, I agree. I went to Paris and I didn't go to the Louvre. I didn't go into the art museum there. But I went on a boat down the river, which is my version of fun, like just taking in, seeing shit. I mean, I'd like walk the streets looking for epic croissant places, and then we went to, you know, just like picnic on the river together. It's like, you also work out what your version of fun is, because if mine's not standing in line for 2 hours to get into a museum to look at the wall.
I absolutely hate lines.
My uncle is a massive art fan and a history fan and just laps it up. So if you're going to not appreciate something, and I think I appreciated the Vatican because I grew up going to Catholic churches. and just the great, like, I think you would appreciate this experience of putting these earphones in, walking through, just looking up and seeing this hundreds and hundreds of year old structure with the, it's just like so progressive for its time. And so there are those things that you, I think, yeah, I think there's a definitely a scale of going, what's actually worth out of everything to do in this city? I would probably go the gondola ride over going into a museum, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting. And because the thing is, I just, Russ Keyes pointed out that he wishes that he spent more time learning about the history and stuff before he went to Venice. And he was giving me all these interesting facts about the place. But I also, whenever I, and maybe this is the wrong approach, and I think that's probably part of the problem, is that that you try and create whether something's a right or wrong approach. But for me, I need to go to a city a few times before I really start to connect with it and understand it and get a sense of space. Like, that's how I feel with San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco five or six times. And I remember a specific moment where it's like, I actually feel like I know the directions, I know how to get to places. And I think that part of this trip is determining, oh man, this this place in Croatia or Turkey is amazing. I really want to get back here and do it again and, you know, deep dive.
Yeah. And then there's some cities you go to and you're just like, this, I just don't feel it, don't vibe it.
Yeah.
Shit house.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk rebrand.
All right, big news.
This is, yeah. Well, also I put it at the end because only hardcore The Daily Talk Show peeps would have followed my journey of rebranding, personal rebrand.
They've seen you on the elephant. They've seen you driving your motorhome and... you know, really stepping it up as a man who wears a Batman watch on his arm.
Yeah, how would you describe my rebrand? What was I actually, say, just up until a year ago or 8 months ago to now? What's the big
minimalist
rebrand, do you think? Okay.
Minimalist.
So
simple.
What was I before? What did I look like before?
A child. A kid who wore snapbacks and looked about two. And just like more colors for sure. You gave me your fluoro pink fucking harlequin colored Nikes and I'm rocking those. But
you
now it's you look older now, but you still look young. But I think it's definitely, you're not a hat guy, you've ditched the hat, so you're sharp.
Well, so this is my problem. Before we get onto the socks that old mate Trev mentioned on Instagram, if you
mentioned
look at
or
my
trolled
nose. Yeah, if you look at my nose right now, it's like basically, and if you, I did a video yesterday which had my nose in it on the Daily Talk Show Instagram.
Yeah. It's not the greatest sell. It's not the greatest sell of the content that we're doing. Hey guys, did a nose video.
Bit of nose gear. No, but you'll see that it's a little bit scabby and gross because I fucking burnt my nose when I was in London. And so it's got me thinking, do I bring back the hat?
Definitely not a snapback. You cannot wear a snapback with what you wear these days.
Well, I was looking at getting one of those sort of like round, you know, like, I mean, I'm stuck. What sort of hat should I get?
You can only wear pretty much a I'm picturing Ashton Kutcher trucker hat that's like actually fabric. It's not trucker like the mesh material. It's actually a denim or whatever they like a fabric.
Mate, this is a disaster in Europe's heat. Wearing a denim hat, this is the problem.
Well, I'm thinking for your brand, like for the aesthetic, it needs to match. You can't be rocking an Akubra, which is 100% what you should be to avoid sunburn.
But it's, yeah, no, so I don't know. If anyone's got any suggestions of the hat that would best suit my rebrand.
here's one. Wear one of those hats.
Hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Hi@thedailytalkshow.com if you've got any hat recommendations.
I think my mum had one. It was like almost this thing that elevated something off her head that then look like a something you'd stick into the sand, like a sun shelter. So it elevates. It's like got like tape around the head, and then like these things that come up. So it's it has, actually doesn't touch your hair.
So wow, what a
you
look.
Get one of those.
What about a what did I used to all what I used to always wear? Is it a visor? Is a visor a hat? What's the one that's got no?
Yeah, also
top?
Chuck your Crocs back on.
Man, I used to rock the visor when I played golf. I think I had like a feeler one.
Yeah, that was, and that was part of 09's rebrand.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
So you've dropped right. it, mate. Sunscreen and just get a hat. Sometimes it's not about how good you look, Brady. It's about doing it smart.
Yeah. Sun smart. Yeah, no, I need to fix this out. But I've been using I've gotten on to, before Bree left for the trip, go to skincare, gave her a bunch of stuff, and so I've been using the they've got like all these oils and stuff, moisture. I'm starting to be like a moisturizer and what's it called? Some sort of oil that I put on every day so that I'm trying to alleviate the my whole face peeling off.
Yeah.
So well, I think
get it
probably
out of the sun.
Solution.
If it's peeling, you can't. God.
Yeah. It's essentially third degree burns. It's not great.
You've got 3 months to learn about what's going to happen in Europe. But you're already really tanned. Yeah. I was actually surprised how fucking tanned you get. What the hell?
Yeah, I get tanned. I get tanned very quickly.
What's
so
that
it'll
heritage?
Be, it'll be interesting. I think that's the Dutch bit. I think Dutch people, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. But so talking about the socks, Trevor Long. Not happy with the socks. What do you think?
Mm.
I did a post on Instagram on my personal Josh Jansen Instagram account with Bree and I on the gondola, and I showed. So this is the problem. I've run out of socks. Yesterday was actually my last day of fresh socks.
I know.
So now I've got to go through and do a sniff test and work out which one is okay. But these are quite, they're a little bit thick. They've sort of, they're sort of, yeah, a very sort of thick material.
If you're worried about a hat that's going to touch your head in the heat and you're wearing long socks, take a look in the mirror.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. Well, so this is exactly, so I think that maybe part of the rebrand for this trip is wearing sockets.
Yeah, it's very European. I was rocking them.
It's okay, great.
Minimizing fabric touching, cloth touching
then,
your skin.
And then there's no trolling from Trev. He can't troll someone if he can't see their socks. so that's what we'll do. We've had some people email us about the stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're coming in hot and, what do you say, hot and fast, whatever it is.
Thick and fast. What? Either of those work. Matt Moulton. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, Maddie actually sent us a photo of him. Mm. It's awesome. With the Daily Talk Show on his fridge. And I also appreciate that also on his fridge he's written dictation. I think that might be a sticker as well.
That could be a sticker, dictation from the Chris Lilly Show. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're up there. We're up there with the greats. BMAC sent through one that he works at a record label, and some of the artists there have won ARIA awards, and obviously they're still in the building, or the record label won, and so he stuck our sticker onto an ARIA award.
It looks good, mate. We suit it. And Tony emailed in, and he called it the Thinking Man's sticker because it's got like a transparent back, so it's like, it's a black, but you need to put it on a light surface. So
it's genius. So you got to think about where you're placing it because it's crucial. But then he said, I'm putting it straight onto the car. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think he said he knew that it was going to be there. which is, I guess, works. It's not great for branding, but it works nonetheless.
I think we'll do another release of the stickers in a few weeks.
Yeah, how about let's do this. Why don't we open it up now, but then have the closing date as the 10th of July. So it's the 5th of July right now. If you want a sticker, Tommy will do another sticker run after the 10th. It won't be on the 10th, but the 10th is the cutoff date. So send an email with a subject line stickers with your address in the body of the email between now and the 10th of July, and we'll send them out. Is that okay that I'm creating work for you?
Yeah, no, that was fine. It actually really helped. And you gave me a bit of pushback about the subject line being stickers.
Yeah, well, I've just embraced it now. It does make it easier.
It made it so easy. I just went through, highlighted which ones, boom, stickers.
That was very good. That's very, very good. All right, I'm off to Florence today.
Yeah.
We've got a train trip in 2 hours. And tomorrow we have Leon Sjögren on the podcast. He's a mate of ours. He's one of the biggest executive producers in radio in Australia. He was voted number 2 by Radio Today, which was pretty cool.
But don't forget where he came from. Him and I would be handing out icy cold cans of Coke on the street team.
I was working with him when I was the web guy for FIFA and Jules. So it was a good chat, and we got to leverage his coming out story. I made that an important bit of the show. So if you want to hear, it was very interesting, I think.
It's fascinating. His perspective. He identifies as bisexual, which to some, you're either gay or you're not straight, which is the black and white version. And he's got a different thinking on that. And so, it opened my eyes to the thinking around, what bisexuality means.
Yeah, well, I think it takes you to have friends that are in these specific situations to build empathy, because I love Leon. And so it's like, it was so good. Like, it sort of excites me when I've got a friend that's like got a new perspective, or coming out's the ultimate rebrand. So I loved it. That's on the Daily Talk.
200 for you? Rebrand? Your big rebrand, selling it in?
I'll be
and then,
coming out episode 200.
No, it's
200.
Your back to snapbacks. I thought it was coming out, but it was back to snapbacks. I guess we can discuss. I've got some thoughts that I've had since that chat with Leon that we can chat on next week.
Monday. Yeah, great. Awesome, everyone. It's the Daily Talk Show. Please keep up, man. A quick thank you to Spencer, Kathleen. We've had podcast reviews through the podcast and iTunes sort of section of Apple. But if they're outside of Australia, we don't really see them easily. You have to sort of go in manually and change location. But Kathleen did one in Britain, in England, and Spencer did one in the US. So that was really nice. So all the reviews and 5-star ratings are appreciated. I don't know what we haven't ticked over onto any. I think because we're explicit all the time, we don't make any actual charts, but that's okay.
I'd rather have a few F-bombs in there and a bit of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email, if you've got any tips for shit that I should do in Florence. But perfect. We'll send me an email.
Yeah, I will. All right, buddy.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Have a good one.
See you guys.